Patrick Hutzel from intensivecarehotline.com, where we instantly improve the lives for families of critically ill patients in intensive care so that you can make informed decisions, have peace of mind, real power, real control, and so that you can influence decision-making fast, even if you're not a doctor or a nurse in intensive care. This is another episode of Your Questions Answered. And in last week's episode, I answered another question from one of our readers and clients. And the question last week was, how can we prevent the ICU team in transferring our dad to the ward too soon? You can check out last week's question by clicking on the link below this video. In today's episode of Your Questions Answered, I want to answer a question from one of my clients, Anna. As part of my one-on-one consulting and advocacy service, Anna is suspicious about the ICU team's decision for her dad's transfer to the neuro rehab ward. She's asking, why is it so sudden and where all the risks taken into consideration? So the question today is, my dad is in ICU and still very vulnerable, but why is the ICU team rushing my dad to be transferred to the ward? So these are excerpts from email consulting sessions with me and Anna, and I'm going to read them out for you. Hi, Anna. First off, let's look at the positives. Your dad has improved tremendously and has made a remarkable recovery to this point. He clearly defied the odds, and that should be celebrated. You should definitely be suspicious of the ICU team's motivations, and as you know by now, without your advocacy, they probably would have let your dad die many weeks ago. By now, you know their agenda, and you also know what helped your father to get to this point. Part of it was to never give up and staying positive whilst also focusing on your dad's strength and not his weaknesses. It was also good information that your dad personally suggested that slow and steady wins the race, which is definitely the case in ICU. Recovery is a marathon and not a sprint. I have just looked through my records, and in terms of timeliness, it looks like your dad has been in intensive care since around mid-April this year. Therefore, his stay would be around the 3-month mark by now. That's a very long time, but it's nothing that they haven't seen before, especially since you've mentioned they have had a patient on a ventilator for about 12 months before. You should trust your instincts that they want to send out your dad before another setback happens. Your gut feeling and your instincts is what helped your dad to this point, and you knew that something was off when they first tried to stop and withdraw treatment. Having said all of that, the risk for infection in ICU is so much higher, therefore sending him out makes sense to minimize the risk for infections. At some point they had to remove the tracheostomy. I was glad to hear that they took it slowly and inserted the mini tracheostomy first to see how he goes, and it looks like they felt confident to remove it completely. In some hospitals, patients can leave ICU with a tracheostomy once they're off ventilation, but it sounds like the neuro rehab ward doesn't have the skills to look after your dad's tracheostomy. How much sooner are they sending him out compared to what was talked about initially? Can you give some time frames? Once the tracheostomy has been removed and no other organs are failing and there is no other life support, I can't see why he can't go to a ward. For example, immobility and weakness are usually not indicators to keep a patient in ICU. What will happen on the ward, however, is simply that he will go from 1-to-1 nursing care to 1-to-4, 1-to-6, or even potentially 1-to-8 or 1-to-10 overnight. It's best to find out so you know what to expect. The contrast in care will be stark once he's on the ward. Nevertheless, will he have to make that step? You are saying we're all concerned that dad is a high-risk transfer. We didn't get the impression there was a rush before. What are your thoughts? Well, my thoughts are that your dad probably is a high-risk transfer, especially with his significant pre-medical history and long ICU stay. However, try and look at the positives of it all, that he's finally able to leave ICU. What a tremendous achievement. The rapidity and push for it could simply be that your dad is finally ready, but obviously the push Could also be that they don't want to spend any more of their expensive ICU resources for him. The total cost for your dad's ICU stay up to now would probably be around £3,000 to £4,000 British pound per day. Therefore, the total cost to this point would have been between 270,000 to 360,000 British pound, potentially even more. Therefore, hospital administration would be putting pressure on the ICU, no question about that. By the same token, if he's off the tracheostomy, he will need to leave ICU. Are there risks associated with it? Absolutely yes. Can they be managed on a ward? Potentially, if they have the right skill and some experienced nursing staff. Furthermore, some ICUs have an ICU outreach or ICU liaison service. What that means is that they look after patients on the ward 2 to 3 times per day because they are at high risk of ICU readmission. Ask the ICU if they have such a service and what is their plan to follow up on the ward in order to manage and reduce the risk of readmission. Now, generally speaking, most hospitals have MET call criteria. What that means is that they call a MET call if certain criteria are met. What does this look like in practice? It means that if vital signs are deteriorating, such as heart rate, blood pressure, temperature, breathing rate, that ICU will assess him. Please see the attachment and have a look at page 6. The sections highlighted in yellow is the dangerous territory when MET calls are being called. Now, when patients first leave ICU, some of the MET call criteria might be adjusted and documented. That means that, for example, for your dad, the ICU might tolerate a lower threshold for blood pressure, heart rate, breathing rate, etc., because they don't want your dad back in ICU. Therefore, your first step is to ask for the MET call criteria and if they altered the standard MET call criteria when your dad leaves ICU. Next is the DNR status. As long as this hasn't been discussed with you or your dad, you must assume that your dad is for full resuscitation. Make sure that you set the rules. Also, if MET call or DNR is a point of discussion, it sounds like your dad is at a point where he can be asked about what he wants. That should be your default position. If your dad can't be involved because you think he's not quite ready, then it's you and your family. Make sure you tell them you have discussed this issue with him. Make sure they don't discuss with your dad in your absence, especially if you think your dad is not ready for it. What is in your dad's best interest is up to him and not up to the ICU, period. Again, if you feel like he's not quite ready to enter any of those discussions, make sure you and your family speak with one voice to advocate for your dad that he was to go back to ICU in case of deterioration. If they deny that, ask for the policies around that decision-making process. You have also asked, Anna, do I point out that their prognosis on many aspects of his care has been wrong before? Yes, yes, and yes. I hope this helps. Stay positive and assume your dad won't need to go back to ICU, but have the worst case scenario covered. Best wishes from Patrick. So here's Anna's response. Hi, Patrick. Thank you so much for your email, as ever. Today, my brother told me they have removed the inner tube, so my dad is without the tracheostomy now. At the ward round today, the two consultants talked about discharging dad to the neuro rehab ward. This is much sooner than was originally talked about. I travelled home this morning, and so I wish I had been there. Of course, this is a big step forward, and it's also positive. To be candid though, I'm suspicious of their motivation and the rapidity of it all. The unit is quiet and has been for a week, so there is no demand on beds and staffing. My instincts are telling me that they're looking to discharge dad before the potential of another setback. They had one patient on a ventilator for a year, I know that. I think they want to avoid that kind of potential scenario again. I have bought another email package as I really need your help on negotiating this. We are all concerned that dad is a high risk transfer. We didn't get the impression there was a rush before. What are your thoughts? Can I request that they keep dad in ICU until I can come down for a formal meeting with them at the weekend to discuss everything is okay in detail? Is that reasonable? In terms of what they told us about no readmission back to ICU and not intubating dad again, what do I need to say to them? How can I show them I have the knowledge that this is not ethical or clinically acceptable? We think they will put forward the arguments as they have done before, that it's not in Dad's best interest, that his body wouldn't be up to it. How do I respond to that? What key things do we need to say to challenge it? Do I need to say all of this and get their acknowledgement before Dad is transferred out of ICU? Do I point out that their prognosis on many aspects of his care has been wrong before? Thank you so much. So, best wishes from Anna. And here is my response. Hi Anna, it sounds like your dad has taken even more steps forward. At some point they have to remove the tracheostomy. They have inserted what's called a mini tracheostomy, therefore taking measured and controlled steps to keep him safe. They would be able to reinsert the bigger tracheostomy easily if needed. Sometimes tracheostomies are removed without putting in the mini tracheostomy, therefore I feel they are doing the right thing. In terms of the DNR status, yes, it's absolutely necessary to get clarity around it, and it's absolutely necessary for you to know that your dad would go back into ICU if he was to deteriorate. Now, for the records, I have just opened up a membership for families in intensive care in the last week. Therefore, you can get access to me online and get your questions answered privately for only $97 a month or $790 annually. I answer questions daily. Furthermore, you have access to all of my ebooks and videos that come with it. Thank you so much from Patrick. So this one-on-one consulting session will continue in next week's episode as well with Anna. So how can you become the best advocate for your critically ill loved one? How can you make informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence quickly whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care? You will get to that all-important feeling of making informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence when you download your free instant impact report now by entering your email below. In your free instant impact report, you will learn quickly how to make informed decisions, get peace of mind, real power and real control, and how you can influence decision-making fast whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care. Your free instant impact report gives you in-depth insight that you must know whilst your loved one is critically ill or is even dying in intensive care. Sign up and download your free instant impact report now by entering your email below. In your free instant impact report, you will learn how to speak the secret intensive care language so that the doctors and the nurses know straight away that you are an insider and that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care. In your free report, you will also discover how to ask the doctors and the nurses the right questions, discover the many competing interests in intensive care, and how your critically ill loved one's treatment may depend on those competing interests. How to eliminate fear, frustration, stress, struggle, and vulnerability even if your loved one is dying. You will get 5 mind-blowing tips and strategies helping you to get on the right path to making informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence in your situation. You will get real-world examples that you can easily adapt to your and your critically ill loved one's situation. How to stop being intimidated by the intensive care team and how you will be seen as equals. You will get crucial behind-the-scenes insight so that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care. And how you need to manage doctors and nurses in intensive care, and it's not what you think. Thank you for tuning into this week's Your Questions Answered episode, and I'll see you again next week in another update. Make sure you also have a look at our blog section for more tips and strategies, or simply send me an email to support@intensivecarehotline.com with your questions. Also, have a look at our membership site, intensivecaresupport.org, for families of critically ill patients in intensive care. You can also call me, find international phone numbers on the top of the website. Also, have a look at our ebook section, and you can also get one-on-one consulting and advocacy with me over the phone, via Skype, and via email. Thank you for watching. This is Patrick Hutzel from intensivecarehotline.com, and I'll talk to you next week in another update.